Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me as always on this program, first in the Northern Bay Area, is Greg. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing pretty good, Ozzy, outside of some traumatic experience because of this movie and bringing up some long hurt, which I'll talk about later. Doing pretty good.
I know that tone. I know that tone. I just banked it, and it's in the back of my head, and whenever you do your thing, that's going to come. Hey, remember, he did that tone. It's like,
That's a tell.
Flesh Wound producer Todd. How you doing?
What's up,
chilling?
Ozzy? I am chilling.
You know, I'm really mad at you.
What'd I do? I quit my daydream.
No. For those listening to the audio version, that is a play on my shirt that says, don't quit your daydream. Something I truly believe in. No, I'm upset because I was watching some old commercials, you know, just kind of going through all these commercials that we're going to get into today. And this giant montage of commercials from the 80s were pulled off of the ABC Sunday Night Movie. So every time it would jump back and say, and now we return to Superman 3. It's like, fuck, stupid Todd. It's his favorite movie of all time. All of a sudden.
Not all time. My favorite super. I can't even say that. Howard the Duck.
Favorite Richard Pryor movie.
No, you cannot say that.
It's like, it's in the top five. I'll go with that.
Which, I mean, I hate to bring up kind of, but last week when we talked about Bowfinger, directed by Frank Oz, actually had a small part in Superman 3 that was deleted. So.
I don't know how they
did it. By his own choice. He was like, I don't want to be part of this.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I didn't say this earlier because I didn't want Ozzy to do it. See, he had the opportunity when trying to find a commercial. He could have just found a Superman 3 commercial to rant on.
No, because then I'd be ranting about Superman 3 and not the commercial, which is what we're going to start with today. Now, of course, this entire episode is not about the commercial. We did watch and review History of the World Part 1, the Mel Brooks classic that we'll get into momentarily. But in our weekly commercial segment. Now, last week, I was looking through the ones in the 80s, but I thought we had one from the 60s last week with the Flintstones and Winston cigarettes. I figured maybe go a little bit more modern. So I came across an Epson commercial that will air for you right now. Todd, would you please do the honors?
Magenta. I hate cartridges. Not magenta, not magenta. I'm not going back to the store. Magenta! Cartridges are so...
The new Epson EcoTank. No more cartridges. It comes with an incredible amount of ink that can save you a lot of frustration and trips to the store. The Epson EcoTank.
Just fill and chill.
Okay, so... It's... I mean, my brain short-circuited when I saw this commercial. One, because it said old school when referring to cartridges. In fact, if anyone listening to the audio version, it shows Shaq who runs out of magenta ink cartridge. And he's looking through all these ink cartridges, can't find magenta. I don't know why he just has all these other two, but not the one or whatever. But then it then now advertises, oh, these new eco... carts
eco tank.
Thank you, eco tank. You'll last, these will last forever. And why did he need the ink so bad is because he printed out on a, I don't know how many papers, a poster that was Shaq's house party or whatever. And I thought that was, here's why my brain short-circuited, is because you had this, the letters old school when referring to cartridges, but he literally just printed out like a poster sheet by sheet. And I just, it just reminded me, like, if my parents tried to be computer literate, that's what they would do. but the cartridges are old school. And then what's he gonna do? He just leaves that there? I mean, he had to tape each one? I mean, come on. My brain short circuited. It was very, very dumb. And I get, like, it's just a commercial. They haven't taken it too seriously, whatever. But it's essentially, a commercial's a story. if you're going to tell me a ridiculous, funny story, go all out. Don't try to be real and then be silly. As we're going to see, just go full silly. It's the way to go.
It's funny because I thought you were here to talk about the eco tank, and I can't hate too much.
Well, that's not like they're a sponsor.
I'm just saying that's what I roll with.
All right, so Todd apparently is on a gag order from Epson.
Yeah.
You know,
it worked. I bought it. Thanks, Shaq.
Yeah.
So you were ready for that.
I do have to say I take a little offense of being a old school cartridge gamer. And I felt like it was an attack on
there
that.
Was a negative connotation to it. It's like, no, old school cartridges are freaking sweet. Come on now.
Yeah. But overall, I thought I hoped in that commercial that party Shaq was throwing was just for himself, that he did all that work and then he's just raging in his room. So it didn't make me too mad outside of that little comment, though.
It just looked bad. Like, dude, you could order like a poster. You're on TNT every however long doing the basketball thing. You can't afford, like, man. And the fact that he doesn't have anybody living with him, like, as he's printing out each paper, then he'd be like, hey, why don't you just order a poster? Like, I can do that for you right now. What? Like, come on.
To bring it full circle, there is a Superman movie worse, and that stars Shaq. Referring to Steel, Ozzy, because you look kind of confused.
No, I recall Steel. Okay. It's just one of those things where so you guys have seen, I think it was in Westworld, where they try to trick the AI. So it's like, what's 0 divided by 1 is what they try to trick them. And then it, you know, does whatever. When you say Steel, the nanoseconds, I'll tell you what happened. Nanosecond number 1, my brain heard Steel. Nanosecond number 2, knew you were referring to the Shaq movie. Nanosecond number 3, brain was like, wait, we erased that image and knowledge out from our brain. What is this? Nanosecond number 4 pulls up this long recorded or discarded memory of a commercial. 5, oh yeah, we need to recall that and then delete. So that happened all within 5 nanoseconds. That's why you saw that look where it maybe looked like I short circuited or something like that.
So we're covering Steel next week, right?
Oh,
yes.
You'd have to pay me to watch that.
I'll say quadruple right pay.
4 times 0 is still 0. Not a mathematician, but I do know that. What I also do know is this movie is freaking hilarious. Anybody who hasn't seen this, it was released in 1981, of course, rated R, with a runtime of approximately 94 minutes. I'll confirm that shortly, but the synopsis reads on the back of this fancy DVD. I shouldn't say fancy DVD because this one just has a theatrical trailer.
Talk about, you know, things that are old school.
Fair point. Fair point. But whatever. This was one of the first DVDs I bought. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was the 4th DVD I ever purchased in my entire life. After I got a DVD player, this is the 4th DVD I bought, and I'll tell you why. When I first saw it, actually, funny, was on, before I get into that, I got to get back into the synopsis. I know what you're trying to do, Todd. You're trying to throw me off my game. Stop it. Stop being ridiculous. Synopsis on the back of the DVD reads, Mel Brooks' uproarious version of history proves nothing is sacred as he takes us on a laugh-filled look at what really happened throughout time. His delirious romp features everything from a wild send-up of 2001 to the real stories behind the Roman Empire, the French Revolution, and the Spanish Inquisition. It's Mel and company at their hilarious best. And absolutely, it was Mel Brooks, Gregory Hines, Madeline Kahn, Dom DeLuise, Sid Caesar in the beginning. So just to get this quick story, I initially saw this on TV. It was a Channel 13 movie. Channel 13 movie of the week. And one of my sister's friends was over and we're all watching it. And they're like, wait, what? This person had seen it before, and they're like, no, we got to rent this movie. So we all went to fucking Blockbuster. We rented History World Part 1 and Holy Toledo. Man, I had never laughed so hard in my life than from the first time I saw this movie. And it's what's great is, like I said, I'm so familiar with it. I usually have notes on the movies we watch. I had a notepad ready. I didn't want to take my eyes off. I didn't want to write anything down just because I want to just take it all in. Every single, like, we talk about our favorite lines, our favorite scenes, but God damn, this, it's just, it keeps hitting you over and over again that you're kind of actually exhausted. And I'm not exaggerating. I at least exhausted at the end just because of it just keeps hitting you. And it's almost, you had your Young Frankenstein, that was a hit. You had your Blazing Saddles, that was a hit. And it seemed like this was a point for Mel Brooks to be like, all right, I'm going to have some fun now. You know what I mean? You just jumping through parts in history, opens with cavemen. Then you go to talk about the 10, you go to the Moses segment just for one joke, really. And it just gave me the sense this was the what Mel Brooks wanted to do initially when he first had the opportunity, rather when he first had the idea, I want to make a movie. This had to be one of the movies like that was in the back of his head. Like, okay, I got to make these ones to make people happy. Now I can make my movie. And judging by the fact that there's only this DVD that's out there with not even commentary gives it, I think, the idea that the studio was like, okay, we'll let Mel do this one. But so I loved it. Before we get into the, you know, favorites and the ratings, stuff like that, initial thoughts, Greg.
So I kind of touched upon it earlier. This movie kind of hurt me for a while. And now I want to let you know, like, I never saw this movie in its totality till probably early mid 20s, probably, you know, 22, 23. Yeah, because I remember seeing it on TV at one point, and there was a time before DVR, kids. And so when it was playing,
I don't even what's think that? I was going to say, I don't even think they know what that is.
Right.
Before streaming at this point.
Before streaming, yeah.
So I was watching it, and, you know, commercial came, and I changed to something else for a bit, and I kind of forgot about it, and, like, came back and saw it had gone from one time period to another, and I didn't see familiar characters, and I was like, oh, I must have missed the end of that movie. Like, that sucks, you know? But I saw the different parts here and there, you know. But when I finally watched it, I was like, this is genius. This is just hilarious. And it gets to the end and talks about History of the World Part 2. Another movie, Beer Fest, talks about a sequel at the end of its movie. Both of those sequels never happened. And I have been hurting. I've been wanting that ever since I heard that, like, I saw that ending. I was like, maybe this is actually going to happen. And then I was quickly crushed when I realized, no, that was all just a joke. But it's forever scarred me because I wanted more of this movie because it was genius.
Also probably marks the first time in history that a movie has blatantly set up a sequel and the studio opted not to go for it.
Right.
So. I don't think it was actually setting up a sequel. I think Greg's right. It was a joke. That was a thing.
And it was a joke, but in today's day and age, it would have been like, hey, we need to make it. I mean, look, Back to the Future ended. They weren't expecting to have a sequel. That's why I had Jennifer and the DeLorean into the future. He said, if I knew we were going to have two more movies, I would have put her in there. That was a huge pain in the ass to write her out in the second movie. So it's, I'm saying that studios will usually force sequels.
Right.
This one had, hey, and I'm kidding, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Dr. Detroit 2, The Wrath of Mom. So I feel your pain over there.
Okay, how about initial thoughts on this one?
Okay, well, this is the first time I've watched it since the 90s, probably. And I'd only seen it that one time.
Wow.
So this time, it really felt like watching. I knew the different time periods and stuff, but I fucking loved it this time. I was dying. It was hilarious. It's definitely going to get a lot more viewings now. I really did. This is probably my second favorite Mel Brooks film now.
Wow.
What was the first? Yeah.
We'll be talking about that one in an upcoming show. So,
okay, I see. Another quick story from high school. We were talking about, or I had this generic English four senior year high school. So our teacher would go from different points. You know, we'd talk about, or we'd study like British comedy, and we study about I can't remember exactly what, but brought up the Spanish Inquisition. I was like the scene in history of the world. And he starts laughing. And I was like, hey, you want me to bring it in so you can watch that one scene? And as, of course, me, we put on the Spanish Inquisition, and in class, I'm just like, this is great. Like, I love watching this in school, right? And the fact that everybody's now, and I'm kind of like, see, there's some people in the room that are just like, and now in context, we understand. I was like, oh, maybe it wasn't the best idea. But I mean, it was 2002, whatever. Like, anybody was really scarred or anything like
that. It was a great idea, Ozzy.
That happens the day in school, they will be scarred. And oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids are going home crying.
That's absolutely it. And when I talked about when it gets to a favorite scene or favorite line, it's really hard because it really does just keep coming at you. And anytime I hear somebody honk on the road, without fail, within seconds, I always say, "Seize this honkus," referring to Gregory Hines after knocking out one of the cops, and hear somebody say, "Seize him!" And he sees this honkus. Always say that to myself on the road, and I hear somebody honk. Always just seize this honkus, just because it doesn't make sense. But it's like a little homage I like to pay. But I really appreciate the subtle line. I mean, you have blatant in your face jokes, and then you have small subtle jokes. But I really enjoyed the scene with B. Arthur and the unemployment insurance. That had me wheezing because, and when I say wheezing, it's like all the air is out of my lungs and I don't have anything else left to laugh, but I'm still laughing. And when I stand up philosopher, oh, bullshit artist. Did you bullshit this week? No. Did you try to bullshit this week? Oh man, just, and the frustration there is, it made me bust up in tears at that point. Of course, I've been laughing at all the other stuff, but that made me wheeze pretty hard. Even to this day, I've seen a million times, and that scene always gets me. Greg?
I agree. It was a hard one to pick. And so jokes that were said versus jokes that were unsaid, I'm going to have one of each just because this movie has so many. I don't care right now. And I'm going to just, there was a sign that quickly gets passed by, and it says, "Annual orgy and buffet. First served, first come." And it's so quickly passed by, but just
the subtleties, you know, it has the in your face and it has the subtleties.
Right. Exactly. And so the next scene I just had to bring up because you touched on it earlier. There's sometimes scenes that are written just for that one joke. And the first scene with Count de Monet, they're riding in a carriage and he's trying to, he wants those raisins and whatnot.
Right.
It's not a big deal. It's the scene itself is nothing. But his companion in the carriage is Bernays. And he throws a little hissy fit, and then he says at the end, "Don't get saucy with me, Bernays." And just because that scene was completely unnecessary, but he wanted it just for that joke, it killed me inside. It was so good, for no reason. No producers would allow that kind of stuff these days. So I loved every second of it.
And just to bring everybody up to speed, again, in case you haven't seen the movie, it starts up with a quick caveman intro and then goes into about 5 minutes of caveman sketches, for lack of a better term. Then you get to the Old Testament, which is literally one of these scenes that's just for one joke. And then you get to a huge chunk Roman Empire, Spanish Inquisition, and then French Revolution, and it feels like an extended sketch comedy show because each of these segments, like there's tons of jokes in each of these segments. What, some are just one.
What were the segments again?
So you had the caveman intro, the 2001 that it's referencing, right? Our forefathers. Then you had the Sid Caesar set of scenes.
What was the next one?
So you had the caveman, then you had the after the no, so you had the caveman that was the forefathers,
right?
And then you had the set of caveman scenes with Sid Caesar.
Right. Yeah, but what was the next era?
Yeah,
after that one.
Yeah,
that was the Old Testament with the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Or the
oh, okay. I'm trying to think of the one after that one.
Yeah, it was in between.
No, what's the one after caveman that
and Roman? What's then that? The Roman Empire.
The what? The what?
To those unprivy, this is a joke because I have long hair and olive toned skin, and apparently I share a similarity with Roman Reigns. So Todd, being the dick that he is trying to get me to say those two words, which I will now not do. Go ahead, Todd. Favorite line or scene?
Well, actually, I'll do my favorite little bit and every time. Like, I remember this. This is the one thing I remember from the last time I watched it, and it got me. And it got me again this time. And that is the 15 commandments. And he dropped up 10.
10. 10 commandments.
I really want to know what those other five were.
Yeah. Don't we all?
And just the whole Roman Empire section of the movie is just every time.
It's a gem. It is an absolute gem. Dom DeLuise as the emperor is, I mean, it's just such a small part, but man, it's so.
He kills it.
He kills it. Absolutely. And also, in case, again, anybody's not familiar, during the French Revolution scene, you see King Louis. And that's where the line, "It's good to be the king," was birthed. And you also had Mel Brooks using the same mustache that he used as President Scroob in Spaceballs, as well as Blazing Saddles, when he was the governor.
Yeah.
Same mustache. And also Harvey Korman playing Count de Monet. Was funny to see him in a similar role. Well, in a role where he was correcting people on the pronunciation of his name, because he also Hedley Lamarr in Blazing Saddles. It's fun to see that. And when he actually mistakes it himself, he says, "I'm Count de Money, de Monet." So frustrated with himself. So I can't, getting to the rating of this, I can't, I mean, there's no possible way I could give this anything lower than a 5 just because of the entertainment factor of it. Like, just, I mean, it, as a movie, it just jumps from one place to another. But if you know that going in, it's like, you're only supposed to laugh. Like, it doesn't really try to do anything complicated, simple stories. In fact, there's a lot of stuff I was watching where I was like, wait, so they just let him knock the cop out? I thought he was being taken away. And now they're just standing there. Like, it's a parody. It's supposed to be stupid, but just laugh. And yeah, I kind of memorized the Inquisition and it never left me. Just cause it's a catchy tune. I mean, just like Springtime for Hitler. It's the same thing. So anyway, it's an absolute 5. From me.
Yeah. Madeline Kahn's facial expressions alone deserve a 5. My God, her performance was fantastic. But yeah, hands down, this movie's hilarious. It's, yeah, there's just no way you could give it any less than a 5.
Oh my God. Todd's a dick.
Well, I wasn't going to be. I was just groaning because we never got Jews in space. but we did get something close enough, but we'll save that for later. I'm a 5.
Excellent. Across the board. Yep. Also one, now we did mention Gregory Hines, the late, great Gregory Hines, also did have Cloris Leachman in the film as well.
Well, while Ozzy's doing that,
got a needle in my throat. Sorry. Something just happened. Right. I don't know what the,
Yeah, I was going to mention, we didn't call out Orson Welles as the narrator, which was really cool. He really adds to that. As Ozzy's over there stroking out or something. I don't know.
No, that was the beginning of this movie.
Oh, okay.
Was the stroking out.
Now, we talked about History of the World Part 2 and Todd referenced Jews in Space. At the end, before the credits roll, you have Mel Brooks say, "Wait, where are you going? Coming soon, History of the World Part 2. See, Hitler on ice." Hitler ice skates. See, a Viking funeral. Take off the hats. The horns remain as part of their own skulls. And then, of course, the aforementioned Jews in Space. Now, we didn't get a part two, but who knows?
We got a Jewish princess. I guess that's all we could be happy with.
Funny. She doesn't look Jewish. Not what we're talking about yet, but we'll eventually get there. And ladies and gentlemen, next week we're going to be back with a new episode. We're going to be talking about, actually reviewing and discussing, the original Coming to America. Because the week after is the sequel's going to be out. It's coming out March 5th on Amazon Prime. So we're going to be watching and reviewing the sequel to Coming to America. So it'll be Coming to America next week. Coming to America, or is it Coming to America 2? Or I thought the sequel just had Coming to.
Yes.
Okay, whatever, right? And also next week, a special treat is there was a Coming to America television pilot that aired in 1990. We're going to be watching and reviewing that as well. In the meantime, check out History of the World Part 1 if you haven't. Fortunately, not available on any of the major streaming services, but you can still
purchase it for
$15. Or, of course, obviously get the DVD or whatever. Blu-ray. Uh-oh. Audio. I have audio problems. Wow. No, it's the ghost. It's the same ghost that jammed a needle into my throat just now. Just plugged, unplugged the cord from my headset.
Well, quit making your ghost watch you do unspeakable things and you wouldn't have these issues.
Stop!
Get out of your VR.
You're both being ridiculous.
Keyword is what?
It's weird stuff. All right. Okay, so you can check out His World. And again, also check out Coming to America. We'll be watching that next week. And Greg or Todd, anything else you'd like to say before we head out for the week?
I'm just looking forward to Coming to America. It's been a long time, and I remember this movie being hilarious, and my wife's not seen it, so it's going to be a wonderful combination of getting to see it again.
Excellent.
I got nothing. Till next week.
Okay. You don't got nothing? Flesh Wound Horror not going to do nothing?
Well, yeah, that's true. The 500th episode will be on March.
500 episodes.
March 24th, so we're going to figure out something.
They have done 500 episodes, and they will do 500 more.
All right, that will not happen on the 500th episode, I promise. So please come on. But but Ozzy will watch or will play Resident Evil 7 on VR headset.
No, I'm not. No, I will not. The only way I'm going to play that fucking game, I know I try not to curse on this, but the only way I'm going to play that fucking game in VR is if it's for charity or I'm paid a substantial amount of money, because I'm not going to do that to myself. I care about myself
for it.
No, it's got to be, it's going to be like $5 or whatever.
We'll do a Kickstarter.
No, I'm not going to do that. This is bullshit.
I'll put it on Facebook.
Don't you. No, I already.
What charity, Ozzy?
Shut up. No.
What charities it got to be?
No.
I'll stop making Roman jokes.
This is bullshit, you will. It's time to go. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll be back with a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce. That's Greg. That's Todd. I'm Ozzy V. Have a good night.